This is episode 40 of the Catching Up Podcast. I am your host, Connor Kaysen. I run a marketing agency here in Seattle, Washington called Find Me in Seattle. I am always joined by my guest, Nick Hughes, who runs a company called FoundersLive.com. It's a place for founders and entrepreneurs to connect online. And this week, we are talking about Founders Live Seattle's live event, which happened last night on Thursday, February 28th. And the winners of the event were My People Now, a marketplace for you to connect with services and things that you need help on, whether it's running your business or at your home or just within your life. We're also talking about a company, an import-export company called Flexport, that just raised $1 billion on a $3 billion valuation. And we kind of think that's crazy. So we talk about that. And lastly, we kind of circle around about raising money, pre and post money valuations, what that means, why companies should or should not raise money. And if you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, founderslive.com, or leave us a message here on the Anchor app where we record this podcast. Thank you for joining along. Like always, please enjoy episode 40. Nick, it is the 40th episode of the Catching Up Podcast. How are you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing good. How are you?
I am wonderful. I know Founders Live Seattle was last night. It was kind of like your send-off show. And so I'm sure you were out pretty late last night, but how did it go?
Dude, it was awesome. It was great. There was like 300 people there. It was big. Yeah, it was big. And yeah, out a little late, but always a good time. But I'm here, man. I always make it up for this.
I always appreciate you waking up after long nights, especially after all of these events. And yeah. So where was the event at last night?
We were at the Collective, which is a really cool space in Seattle, and kind of like a social club. There is co-working there, but there's also like a restaurant and a bar and just space to hang out and have meetings, and they also have like a rock wall, and it's just really cool. So yeah, we're there, and I mean it was packed.
it was That's great. Awesome. Yeah, and so let's talk about the people who pitched last night. Tell me about them.
Well, yeah, I let's see. Well, we can talk about the winner, which I think is a great topic, which, by the way, question mark, you put it on our list. How did you know?
From Founders Live.
Awesome. So you.
So I mean, that's kind of what it. I go on Founders Live, and all the polls are there, and it's actually where you can go. And some feedback on that. There's not like, I wasn't sure, because then I was like, oh, if any of these polls were close last night, if someone would have went on later and voted or voted this morning, I would have gotten it wrong. So when I posted on our spreadsheet, My People Now, I was like, I really hope this was the winner, because I didn't get a confirmation. And in the comments, a lot of people, you know, were like, vote for My People Now. So it looked like they had a lot of support, and a lot of people were very impressed with their pitch.
Yeah, she did a great job. So Melissa, there's a little backstory. I've been advising her over the last, you know, handful of months, probably 6 months, almost a year. And been just, it's really cool to see her growth. And, you know, she went through one of the Founders Five courses that I, you know, have held in the past. And, you know, just amazing seeing someone go from like, I don't know if I can do this, to, you know, launching their service, which I'll get to in a second. But then, you know, like nervous to get on stage and pitch, and then pitch and win. And just even that process in itself is actually really amazing. You know, it just proves to me. I had another one of those moments last night where after that happened, I just stood up. I was on stage. I'm like, this is incredible. I mean, that it changes people's lives. Like it changes their confidence and the way that they go about themselves, just because they got on stage, they took the courage to pitch, and then they get votes and they win. And that's really cool. So, you know, My People Now is really, I mean, I guess you could take it like it's like TaskRabbit in a way, but it's, you know, her whole thing was, you know, just realizing that if there's a way that you could build a system that you could have other people around you to support you to do tasks and jobs, and, you know, whether it's like designing a website, which you don't know how to do. So you're like, how do you do that? take my kids, drop them off at school, basically like creating this gig economy, but in a way more purposeful manner. And, not just like a Craigslist ad or a TaskRabbit. And, she got there and just threw out a very emotional, like very real pitch. And it that resonates with people. So, I give her a ton of credit, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I love the design of the website. I think it's very intuitive. It's designed kind of more modern than Yelp or some of these other referral systems,
Yeah.
but definitely better than Craigslist. And so whether, I mean, it's a two-way marketplace. So whether you're providing a service or looking for a service, I feel like it's a good place to go. And an actual thing that I thought of that applied to me is immediately I went into some of actually my stuff as a competitor and just looking at pricing, right?
Yeah.
Right, and just being like, okay, what are other people putting up here as pricing, and can I compete with that, or can I not compete with that? And I thought it was really
Yeah.
interesting. And I mean, yeah, and she's got a lot of people up on here providing services.
Yeah, it's great. I think that there's a possibility of this going, going somewhere, and I just love that her traction already, her just going through some of the stuff that I've helped her with, and actually it's the same thing. Last month there was the winner was Coffee Break, and I basically helped them from start, to finish, so or not start to now at least. And it's been pretty cool to see these companies that I've actually personally been advising to actually step up and have success.
Yeah, and so are they just in Seattle? Do they have services offered in like Los Angeles or the Bay or anywhere else right now?
They are only in Seattle, I believe, right now.
Right. Perfect. Well, if you're out there listening, check out mypeoplenow.com. Do what you love, let others help you with the rest. A nice little design here. And shout out to Melissa, winner of Founders Live Seattle in February. And so on to some of the other topics that I want to talk about this week, Nick. There was a company that kind of got on my radar called Flexport. And Flexport this week raised $1 billion on a $3 billion valuation that was led by SoftBank. And what they do is they help with the trucking industry, more or less. And so it's a freight forwarder that helps businesses transport their goods to the point of sale. And it just blew my mind. Like, you're raising $1 billion on a three. So he gave up a third of the company on this one round to raise that. And so I just want to know what your opinion is, Nick. Like, when you see a number like this, to back it up. So this company did bring in $441 million last year, which they said was an annual growth of 95%. So, that's some crazy trajectory. But when you see someone raise $1 billion, is that exciting? Is it alarming? Is it something? Is this something that we should be applauding? Or should we kind of be a little skeptical about it?
Yeah, I think it's alarming in my opinion. First of all, like I don't know exactly the executive team, what they're dealing with, what exactly the status of the company is, but dude, $1 billion. First of all, I think it's alarming from, SoftBank is throwing money all over the place, and it's just like, whether it's Uber or Lyft or other, these other big companies that just take another round of funding for $1 billion or two, and it, I don't know. I think it's alarming from when you have investment of $1 billion, and where's that money going? How are they going to spend it? It's probably going to be very undisciplined. And then as a team, you are signing up for, dude. So yes, they raised they raised $1 billion off of a $3 billion valuation. That means not just they gave up 33%. There's a lot more underneath in terms of the terms there. So it's got to be, it's almost more than 33%. Secondly, they're signing up for a $10 to $20 billion exit. Like, that's it. And if that doesn't happen, the economics of a sale or some sort of acquisition really get screwy. And as a founding team, you start losing a lot of equity and cash. So, it's definitely a go big or go home, literally, like, go big or you're going to lose a ton of money. And, if that's their choice, and that's their choice. But I think it's just, I've read this many times now, but, like, I forget his name, but the guy who's leading it, Sun, is his last name, Son. It's like Magadashi Sun or something like that. He'll sit down and, I mean, he literally is like, billion. Imagine sitting in a meeting and him saying, "We will invest $1 billion. If not, we will invest in your competitor $1 billion."
Yeah, and that's such a crazy number. Like, I remember when Instagram got bought for $1 billion. That was such a big deal. And that was only 5, 6 years ago. And so now there's like, oh, we're just gonna give them $1 billion. And to give you guys a little bit of background on SoftBank, they actually have a fund. I can't, the name of the fund
The
is
Vision Fund.
it's not Founders Fund. Vision Fund, and they have $100 billion to give away, which is just insane. And there's a lot of controversy between this fund because a majority of the money comes from Saudi Arabia, which has been very controversial in the news about just some of the decisions and things that have been happening politically over there. And so they're putting a lot of money into these American companies to grow and scale and take over the world. And there's no doubt that Flexport has a huge market because import and export really runs the world, right? This is how all products go around this global economy that we have now. And so it's not a surprise that something is coming out and taking advantage of the open markets of technology and being able to make importing and exporting a little bit more efficient. But I saw that number and I was just like, oh my gosh, that is crazy. This company, they.
I think
Oh, go ahead.
it is interesting. I would, when they say, all right, $1 billion investment at a $3 billion valuation. Now the question is that post or pre? Basically meaning, if it's post money valuation of $3 billion, that means it was pre money valuation of $2 billion, and then they throw in $1 billion, and now it's like $3 billion valuation altogether, basically because you have cash in the bank. And
Yes.
that determines a lot, because we're talking about either 25% or 50%, basically between the two numbers, and then 33 is in the middle of that. So, that's why I say the numbers and economics, we don't know. But I mean, it just feels like SoftBank was like, take our money and here's the valuation we're going to throw you at, which basically, I mean, it's like you put so much money in front of someone, and then they're determining the terms, and it's like, how do we turn this down? Because we know if we turn this down, they're going to go to our competitor. So shit, we have to take possibly the kind of worse terms or valuation. It's just man, that's why I think, like, only time will tell if the whole SoftBank Vision Fund throwing money all over the place actually helped improve startups and growth and in innovation and entrepreneurship around the world, or if it actually hinders it. And I'm not sure which one it is at this point.
Yeah, and if there's $100 billion going around, who's making that money, right? Because obviously it's creating a lot of jobs. Flexport's gonna, they're gonna hire thousands of people with this billions of dollars. So that is good for a lot of employees. Hopefully the founders, especially if they are put in kind of a predicament where it's like take the money or we're going to your competitor, hopefully they're gonna cash out a little bit and then, they get something for the 4 years of work. But I wanted to go back to the pre and post money valuations. How do you, as a founder, and then also from the other side, from the investor's perspective, how do you decide, or is this just a marketing thing about what they release to the companies that we get the news from about what they raised for? Or is there actually like a process that's important about, you know, raising at a pre or post money
Well,
valuation?
let's answer it differently. Like, how does that number get determined? It's, you know, a lot of things from market comparables. So what other similar companies in this space at this stage are valued at? So, you know, the market definitely determines valuation. Secondly, you know, what's the growth? What's the revenue level? So you mentioned, which was important, if their revenue level was roughly $400 million this last year, that's actually significant. And so, okay, that you start looking at revenue multiples and all that stuff. And then you can look at, then there's just an intangible, what value from the team to the product uniqueness. I mean, this is where we see like Magic Leap. Like, who the hell knows Magic Leap is worth like what, 3, 5 billion or 10 billion? I don't know what the heck they're, but they really have only recently put out a product. Is that product even going to be accepted in the market? It could end up being like Google Glass. So how do you value that? But there's just like a, you know, put your finger in the air and just, you know, sniff a little bit. So all that it takes into account, then in the end, there's a buyer and a seller. So when you raise money, it's a sale. And what the buyer is willing to pay is what the seller will accept. And so if it's a hot market and it's competitive and there's movement quickly, you know, the seller, which is the company, can get a better valuation. But if it's less competition, slower market, more difficult, then the investors actually can determine, they have a little more power and say, and they'll probably negotiate a lower valuation, which means they get a higher percentage of the company. So a lot of that comes involved of how you actually determine what the valuation of a company is.
Yep. Okay. And so the post and pre is really just a term for you to understand. You know, do you subtract that number, or do you add
yeah,
that?
Yeah, post and pre means, you know, pre-money valuation is before the investment happens, what's the current value of the company? Post-money valuation means after an investment has been made, what is the total value of the company? So when you're talking about investment of $1 billion, you got to add that $1 billion into the valuation. Like, what is the value of the company after that investment takes into account what's in the bank account, you know? So that's really just the post and pre difference.
Yep. Yep. And so I wanted to transition this conversation a little bit into your company, for I know we've been getting some new listeners and new followers, and just kind of give them a perspective about what you're doing. And so have you raised money with your company? And as you're on this global trip this year, is that something that you are thinking about at all, that you're trying to have conversations with, or
I raised a little bit of money about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, just to get off the ground. It wasn't a lot, less than 100,000. And that was great, you know, just from a couple of angel investors here in Seattle and ones that I'm close with and I really appreciate. Then, you know, Founders Live has just really been organically growing, and it's bootstrapped, and it's we're just rolling. I am less interested in going out just pitching investors with my hands out, say, hey, I need your money. That doesn't work. And I think we all as founders
yeah.
learn maybe the hard way about that. But now, dude, I mean, the energy and growth and attention on Founders Live is changing every week. And so when you realize that you can, the power dynamic can start to shift. My decisions now are if the right, I will evaluate and take investment if it's strategic and it makes sense, and it's an investor or a corporation that I see a value in a partnership. I'm not against raising
yeah.
money, but I am not like I am. We're focusing on the company. We're growing. It's going well. And I think by putting my energy and attention on the right things in the business, that improves. And then in turn, your ability to go raise money actually improves. So, but yeah, right now, like, I really don't think Founders Live it's not a massively VC funded company anyway. I will only look at raising money if it makes sense. And what I don't want to do is kind of what I just said earlier, which is, geez, when you raise that amount of venture capital money, you're absolutely only your only outcome is a massive exit, and you have to take that exit. It could be from some random company, and I don't want to put Founders Live in that position. I want to be able to determine, have ownership, determine the road ahead. But if there's a solid investment that makes sense, I'll evaluate it at that time. So, do we end? I see Founders Live ending 2019 in a way better, strong financial position, but I'm not sure if that's a traditional VC.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's really the best place to be when you have the power, right? Because I think a lot of this getting investment from whether angel, VC, crowdfund, or whatever it is, it's all about leverage, right? And timing. And who has more leverage, really? Because when you think about where this goes in 5 years, those percentage points or those dollars make a big difference if you're successful
Yeah,
and you grow
totally.
that with the expectations
And
that you
not
have.
only that,
And so, yeah, I think that's really
dude, not
smart
only
for
that,
you.
but look, the farther I go along and the more successful we become, I'm realizing that, dude, it's so hard. Like what I'm gonna say, it's hard to do, but I think it's smart, which is, look, there are more options than just venture capital and raising money from angels or VCs. And by doing it the hard way, you're in a better position in the long run, and it might take a little longer, and you have to grow organically and actually have revenue. But the options tremendously open up to you if you don't just out of the gate go raise money. So, out of the gate, you have no revenue, you're just getting going, you raise $1 million of a seed round, and then in 6 months or a year, you go raise another, maybe that's your Series A, and you raise like 3 million or 5 million. What you've put yourself on is a crazy, weird road that has forced many different or decisions that might not be the best for you and the company. And if you flip it
Yeah.
around and you go slower, but you organically grow, you as in the founding team own the significant chunk, if not all the company, you now have revenue, you're growing naturally, you have customers, your growth trajectory, it's simply like you're all like you've determined and shown that this company can sustain and grow forever. And so you don't necessarily need to go raise another round. You may or may not, and you have options. But that's a harder road. But I'm telling you, it's a way better position to be in as a founder and a company in general. And so that's what I'm doing at Founders Live. I know that we're gonna, dude, we've turned the corner. Like Founders Live is gonna be around for a long time. And I'm now d really looking at like, how fast do you want to push down the gas pedal? And what decisions need to be made? What's the outcomes that are at the end of those roads? You got to think all the way there and then backtrack and say, okay, we're good here. Let's continue at this speed. It's not 100 miles an hour, but it's 60, and it's like, this is good. And there's a lot of options at that point.
Yeah, I'm on the same board, and I mean, I think that's the right thing for you to be doing as well. It just yeah, provides you more leverage and organically grow. And I think we really the reason I brought this up is you and I feel the same way. Is just raising money gets put on a pedestal, right? And like these founders are getting worshipped because they raise $1 billion or raise $1 million, whatever it is. And I was like, yeah, all right, you closed one deal, but that really like isn't a factor of future success really at all, because so many different people are raising on these ideas, but are they actually going out and like building a company, building a business, having a successful team, is a totally different question. I think kind of a theme that we have throughout this show that we've done over 40 episodes is saying, right, like going out and building a company is a lot harder, especially long term, than it is to go, raise $1 million, and it's like, oh, congratulations to Joe Smith for raising $1 million, but it's like now the real work
Yeah,
starts.
like I don't know, man. Either way, again, it's hard. Even if you're an early stage founder and you have someone sit there and say, "I'll give you $5 million for as an investment," it's hard to turn that down.
Oh yeah, it's definitely hard to turn that down. But as far as like going out and yeah, putting your hands out and trying to get people to do it and taking away from building your business, that's a Very interesting decision. And there's lots of business models that kind of require that, right? Because getting that injection of funds can really speed up your growth, right? And a lot of these industries, you have to be the first mover, and you have to get there quickly, because teams can scale up so quickly now, and people can build product really quickly and market real quickly. So if you're not there quick, they're fast and making moves and getting everyone's attention and kind of becoming the premier player, you can lose. So yeah, don't discount the importance of raising money. There's definitely a lot of companies that need to do it. But yeah, it's not the only business model out there, but it does look like from modern media that it really is like, That's what everyone wants to do, right? That's like the entrepreneur dream, is to go raise a bunch of money and, you know, be on the cover of TechCrunch or GeekWire or whatever.
So there's a company that I'll bring up if someone's listening that wants to do a little research. If you're familiar with Qualtrics, their story is really interesting, and they came out of Utah, Salt Lake City, Provo. And man, they've been around for 15, 20 years. It's a family owned startup, bootstrapped, and for so long put off raising money. And they might've raised a little bit, but they grew organically, grew through the revenue. And then, you know, like they raised, I think a couple of years ago, raised a pretty big round, a couple hundred million. And then they got bought in the last year for, I think it was between, I think it was $4 or $7 billion, something like that, like a massive exit. And for like, their story is really about doing it the long road and the hard way, but it turned out incredibly, it's a very successful exit and a successful story without doing the traditional, you know, raise a million, then raise five, and then raise 20, then raise 100, then raise a billion. Like, that is not the story that they did, and they still proved that you can grow a big company, you can have a great outcome, and the dynamics and economics of that cap table, the ownership, is tremendously in the hands of the founders, which is great.
Yeah, I believe they're still running the company too, even after the acquisition, which kind of continues to let them lead and I guess count those checks.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that concludes episode 40 here this week. For the Catching Up podcast here with Connor and Nick. Nick, where are you off to next?
I am in Seattle right now, and I take off for my next stop is Phoenix. I'll be in Phoenix next week, and then the week after that, Austin. And I'll just drop a little bomb here that basically for the next 4 months, we will be driving this road trip in a modified tour bus that I have gotten to know and connect with someone through our San Francisco team. And he's jumping on board. He was excited to have an adventure, and he owns a tour bus, and he's going to drive me and us around. We're literally taking that road trip, you know, through the cities that we're going through all the way up to Minneapolis. So the first stop is Phoenix in a couple of days. So I leave on Sunday, and we're driving this road trip, and he's going to start creating content. So he'll be able to be behind the camera, and thankfully, because I'm not that good at that, I've proven that. And so he's going to help create content, and we're going to start shooting a lot more of all the stuff that's happening.
Dude, that sounds amazing. It's incredible over 2 months how that's all started to come together, and it's
working out. It's great.
Awesome. And so before we go, what's happening with Founders Live Seattle? If you're not going to be back for 4 months, is there still going to be events? Is someone else going to run it? Are you going to fly back for it?
I won't be back until January or February next year. So we are having some guest hosts that will host the event. And so I'm just, you know, every month I'm placing someone new in there to run it. And this next month, it's going to be, her name's Katie Chase. She's a great, good friend of mine, and she's been around Founders Live. She actually does some pitch coaching for the founders. She'll be stepping up and running this next one.
Awesome, and she'll do a great job. She knows all about it, and has been in the process for a long time. That's gonna be awesome. Great. Well, good luck starting that road trip this weekend, and I will catch you.
All right. Week. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.